2 Timothy chapter number 3, and I got what they call in the old days, they call it a crowd pleaser. You say, what's that? It's a message that gets everybody excited. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, go there if you would and stand with me, read a couple of verses here. Second Timothy chapter 3. Miss Huggins was sort of joking about this. She said, I had the greatest time on Sunday. I said, why is that, sister? She said, because my husband got up and he's just real quiet and he stands still. Then you get up and you're running around. And she said, boy, it's the funniest thing to watch you guys preach back to back. I said, you know, that's the thing in Christ. You're made to be a unique individual in Christ. You understand that? That's how God made you. And never feel you have to be somebody else, all right? Never feel you have to be a know-it-all. Amen? All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read a couple of verses here and jump right into it. Bible says, this know also, verse 1, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means they can't control themselves. Hello, America 2018. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Justin Trout, would you ask God's blessing on the message, brother? Amen. Be seated if you would. Now, you may wonder, why are we starting in 2 Timothy chapter 3? Let me say this by way of introduction. Doctrinally, you need to understand and draw a division doctrinally between what you read about in Matthew 24 and what you read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Matthew 24, the context of Matthew 24 is the end of the world. We looked at that last week on Wednesday night. All right? It's the end of the world, whereas this is talking about the last days of the church. You say, how do you know that? Well, if you read 1 Timothy and you read the instruction that Paul gives to Timothy, understand, Timothy's a young preacher. He's his son in the faith. He's a young man that Paul discipled, that Paul brought along and led the Lord and then discipled him. And he gave him some instruction in 1 Timothy. And the instruction he gave him has to do with the church in particular, how to set things order in the church. And so when Paul writes Timothy about the last days, he's not talking about the end of the world as in Matthew 24, but the end of the church age. And the end of the church age does not end with revival. I wish it would. I would like to stand here tonight and tell you that the way this thing ends, the rapture happens when the entire church all across the globe gets on fire for Jesus Christ, gets back to the Bible, and lives a holy and pure and separated life. But let me tell you right now, that is not the picture that God paints in regards to the latter days of the church. In the latter days of the church, as far as what the Bible says, not what people say, not what commentators say, but what the Bible says is that it ends in apostasy. That means the church falls away from truth. I think we can sort of see that going on, right? The question is, how does that happen? How is it that the church, the Bible says the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The very thing that God placed on the earth. Understand this. I don't believe that God replaced Israel with the church. We went through all of that last week. Amen. But I will tell you this. God has always had a people on this planet that would be a light for him in this world. In the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. And guess what happened? Satan got in there and destroyed that nation, and they ended in apostasy. And guess what happened? That fell apart. And then Jesus Christ comes and they reject their Messiah and they're dispersed. And God says, okay, I'm going to open it up to a spiritual nation, a spiritual people. And when they start, boy, they're on fire for God. And they love the Lord. And you know what they're willing to do? They're willing to lay down their life for Jesus Christ. Today, if you have to fight traffic or inconvenience yourself, most Christians say, I don't know if I want to go to church. In the early church, they're willing to lay down their life for Jesus Christ. We've come a long way. How has that happened? How is it that you start with people that are on fire, that are willing to give up their life, that will look at their children? Guys, I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying I can do it. But these early Christians looked at their children and looked in their eyes and said, you know what? Mommy and daddy love you, but there's something greater on the other side. And not only would mommy and daddy be tortured, but children would be tortured as well. They did that so you could have the Bible that you're not reading today. And here we are today. How is it that we went from that to Christian mosh pits and Laodicea as we have today? How did that happen? We look around and we go, well, the secularization of the educational system, the breakdown of the family unit, entertainment, you know, being raunchy, all this gender garbage, that, you know, you're a man, but you're really a woman inside of a man's body, all that garbage. We look at that and go, that's the problem. No, 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 that's the symptom. It's not the problem. The problem, let me say this, is the church's standard of living. Amen. Let me say it like this. You know, when you go to get a raise, you know what you look for? The CPI, the Consumer Price Index. You go, okay, the standard of living is this. I expect to get a 2%, a 3% increase, at least that much, just to keep. Let me ask you this. Do you do that every year in your faith with Jesus Christ? Well, Lord, by this time, this year, Lord, I should raise my standard of living to keep up with your conforming me into the image of Jesus Christ. It's sort of like, whatever. I'm not as bad as they are, so I'm good. Let me tell you, the church's standard of living is dropped. Let me say this. The Bible being the authority in a Christian's life is gone. Those are the problems. The problem today is not, oh, they're teaching evolution in school. The problem today is preachers that won't preach the truth. Amen. The problem today is not, you know, the homosexual movement or, you know, there's so many different acronyms, LGBTQ, whatever it is that people want to call it. That is not the issue. The issue is this. There's no difference between us and the world. That's the problem. And it's like this, how do you boil a frog? You just turn it up a little bit at a time. And what you're seeing go on in the world is a result of what has happened in the church. And I want to do this. I want to sort of wake you up tonight a little bit to that. I want you to understand what you see out in the world and you see how perilous the times are. I want you to understand it's because of how we, and I mean, guys, I'm telling you, the church, I don't mean New Heights Baptist Church in particular, but how the church at large, and maybe us, have dealt with the apostasy that's going on. Do we just sit back and go, it's going to happen, doesn't matter, just sort of go along with it? At least we're not as bad as that church. At least we're not as bad as those people. Or do we say, hey, let's put a stop to this. Let's sort of put the brakes on a little bit. And let's see where we're at. Let me ask you this. Does God ever ask you to do something you can't do? You know what he says? Be holy, for I am holy. That's Bible, guys. Just as much as before by grace are you saved through faith. Boy, you talk about salvation by grace through faith and it's free. Hallelujah. Now that you're saved, you live a holy life. And it's like, who's he talking to? I'm not sure what he's talking about. Listen, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to us tonight. Listen, the church has slipped away. And I want to say this right now. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about technology. We're talking about, are you connected? We're looking at social media. Brother Jeff this morning said, unless you have an amplified Bible, I don't think social media is in the Bible. He was kidding. All right. And I said, you know what, man? This book right here, this King James Bible, is the most amplified you could ever have. Amen. But the point is this, while the term social media, and we were joking about it, is not in your Bible, there are some things there, guys, that we need to look at. And let me say this, technology, by way of introduction, you're not talking to an 85-year-old man that thinks, you know, if you've got a phone, you're evil. All right. You know, I'm not the guy that's going to, you know, you folks need to stay off that interwebs. All right? That's not where we're at tonight, so calm down. I can say this, technology can be a blessing. You know what's a blessing? It's a blessing to Skype with Brother Mike Flick over there in Africa and talk about, you know, hey, how are things going? Hey, we'd like to come see you. Let's plan this thing out. That is a blessing. You know, it's a blessing when I'm at work and I get a little ding on my phone and I click on that and I got this little video from my daughter and she goes, Daddy, guess what? Daddy, look, I finished the Legos that you got me. And she turns it around and then she starts singing and then she does a ballet thing. She's dancing around. That brightens my day. There is nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's good. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with you taking advantage if you're married, gentlemen, and going, hey, baby, to your wife. Hey, baby, how you doing? Miss you, love you. Nothing wrong. There's some good things. You can click a few buttons and have pizza show up at your house. That's not bad in and of itself. There is nothing wrong with that. I'm not telling you that technology by itself is evil. But I'm going to tell you, you better watch out how you use it. Let me give you a couple things to think about. The word devices or device in your Bible every time is negative. Do you know that? Look it up. Let me give you one of them. Look, if you would, let's just go through some real quickly tonight. Look, if you would, we'll take a trip through Psalms and Proverbs. How about that? Psalms and Proverbs. Go back there real quickly. This is Bible study. Therefore, let's look at some scripture tonight. Let's let the Bible define words for us. How about that? All right. By the way, the word gay has been taken to mean something else. The Bible doesn't use it that way. You want to use the Bible word? Sodomite. Some of you think I'm being offensive. I'm not being offensive. I'm just saying, let the Bible be your dictionary. All right? You know, the world would call it an affair. The Bible calls it adultery. All right? There's all kinds of things. The way the world uses the word charity doesn't even line up with how it's usually used in the Bible. They've taken that and made it something else. What you need to do as a Bible-believing Christian is say, Lord, I want you to define my life. And Lord, for you to define my life means I define my worldview based on what you said. Now look, if you would, at Psalm chapter number 33. Psalm 33, and look, if you would, at verse number 10. Psalm 33, verse number 10. It says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. We're going to move fast, so go quickly with me. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Boy, if that happened today and no one's devices were working, oh God, what's happening? We're in the tribulation. God's like, no, I just shut down the internet for a while. It's okay. All right, look at Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, look at verse number 7. Psalm 37, don't you want to know what God thinks about your life? Yeah. Amen. Honestly, don't you want to know? Listen, I Brother Jose comes in. We were doing discipleship last night. Brother Jose got a haircut. And boy, his wife likes it. That's good. And I said, boy, I like your haircut. My wife goes, uh-uh. And he said, I got a zero. And she goes, Adrian, you don't get a zero. You get a one. Now, listen, I don't take a whole lot of words from my wife, but I want to please her. I want to please her. And so whenever she looks at my hair, she goes, I don't like that. It doesn't look, okay, fine, honey, we'll give you a one. All right? You say, why do I do that? Because I love her. Because I love her. Don't you love Jesus Christ? Don't you want to know what he thinks? Look at Psalm 37. Look, if you would, at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked. What's the next word? Look at Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. Look, if you would, at verse number 31. Proverbs 1, verse 31. Therefore, those that reject God, shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. If you don't get that that's not a positive context, you're missing it. It's negative. All right, look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter number 12. Proverbs 12. Now, what you find all throughout Proverbs is contrast. You'll find the good man, the wicked man. The righteous man, the unjust man. All right, you'll find a good woman, you'll find a harlot. That's that constant contrast that goes on in Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 12, verse 2. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. You never find devices connected with anything good. Now, I'm telling you tonight that you can, in a practical way, you can use your phone for something good. But as far as what it's actually created for, understand what it's created for is not for good. Understand that. Understand technology, even when they say the motive is good and where you can use it for good, where it eventually goes is not. You get that, right? You can understand the internet has some great things to it, but at the same time, look at all the garbage that has been infiltrating your lives and your kids' minds and your minds because it's simply there. Look, if you would, at Daniel chapter number 11. This is talking about the Antichrist. Daniel chapter number 11. Daniel chapter number 11. And look, if you would, at verse number 24. This is talking about the ministry of the Antichrist on the earth and what he does whenever he shows up on the earth and whenever he goes in to take the land of Israel. He starts off peaceably. He starts off peaceably, but he doesn't end that way. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 24. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds. We're talking about military warfare. How do you do that? Satellite. We talked about that in our study in Psalms, how the wicked will be watching the footsteps of the righteous. What is that today? That's used, that's done via satellites. Guys, I appreciate satellites, okay? I'm not saying we go back to Stone Age or anything like that. I'm just telling you, eventually technology will be used for evil. You need to recognize it for what the potential of it is, that thing you carry with you everywhere in your pocket. I'm going to ask you now, are you connected? Oh yeah, I'm connected. I'm connected to this, I'm connected. I've got a couple questions for you in regards to that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. One more time, we'll move on. I got four questions for you tonight. We'll see if we get through all of them. We'll make this a two-part or a three-part series, depending on how long we go tonight. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And look, if you would, at verse number 11. The Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Do you want Satan to get an advantage of you?
No.
Look what it says. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Question number one tonight is this. Are you connected to an addiction? Are you connected to an addiction? You know what anyone that's addicted to something says? I'm not addicted. Here's another thing. Someone that's addicted to something always says, I can stop anytime I want to. Then go ahead. If you can stop anytime you want to, turn Facebook off for a week. And then tell me if you're not addicted. I'm trying to help you tonight. You know what 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 says? All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. God did not save you so you could become a slave to an addiction. The Lord came to free you from that. I know some of you are thinking tonight, I'm not addicted. I don't have a problem with that. I pray you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But I'll tell you this. If you are constantly checking and constantly looking, listen, the phone is made to talk to somebody. And so if you're constantly checking and constantly looking and constantly worried, what if they, did they like my thing? Did they like my post? I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what's going on over here. Listen, if you're constantly checking, constantly looking, and just worried and consumed with what's going on in that sphere of a virtual reality, you might be addicted. Let me give it to you like this. There are 2.67 billion social network users around the world. That's a lot. That's a lot. 24% of teens go online almost constantly. By the way, that's a statistic from 3 years ago. That has risen. Young people, do you love me? Do you love your pastor tonight? You sure? Okay, we're going to find out, all right? All right? Listen to this. Social networking already accounts for 28% of all media time spent online. And users aged between 15 and 19, here's what I don't understand, parents. I'm trying to help you. None of you would ever give a gun to your kids, I would think, and say, hey, good luck. You better be real careful what you let them do with the phone. You need to understand what's on that stuff. You need to understand what they're seeing, and the depression rates are 58% among teenage girls. You know why? And it's risen in the last few years. You know why? Because they're constantly seeing what someone else is doing and what someone else looks like. And how come I don't look like her? And how come I don't have her body? And why don't I have this? And you say, what is that? Just a constant. It's constantly there. Constantly there. Man, we sing that song. Constantly abiding. Jesus is mine. boy, and the Lord tries to get our attention, and he's trying to knock, and you come to church, and you're like a zombie, and you wonder why. Because you're constantly being stimulated with images and stuff that you're constantly going back to. I got to find out. I got to see again. I got to look again. I got to know what's going on. No, you don't! You can leave it alone for a little bit. It's good for you. And listen, if you're here and you're not into the social media scene, don't go, oh, I sure am glad he's not talking to me tonight. Everybody's got an addiction. You just got to deal with it the right way. Listen to this. Users aged between 15 and 19 years of age spend at least 3 hours per day on average using platforms like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Parents, do you know what your kids are doing, how much time they spend on it? Trying to help you. You need to understand that the stuff that they're seeing, you know why kids are so jaded today? Because you know why you're so jaded today? Forget the kids. Amen. I don't understand. I really don't understand this. I really don't. You can preach on someone going to hell and a Christian can sit there and yawn. You know, you preach too long, you go an hour and 10 minutes and, oh man, that was a really long service. You'll sit there and watch a movie for 3 hours. Now, granted, I'm not Marvel, Avengers, Infinity, whatever it is. I grant you that. I give you that. All right, I don't look anything like Captain America. I'll give you that as well. But the truth of the matter is, if you're saved and you're in your Bible, this should matter to you. Amen. You see what's going on? You're becoming overstimulated with things that don't matter. And you're becoming addicted to things you don't even realize. And the world is constantly changing. I don't think it's evolving. It's devolving. And it's going further and further and further. And while everybody around is changing with us, we're going along with it and going, well, at least I'm not as bad as them. How much time do you find getting consumed with your phone? Around 70% of internet use of people at work has nothing to do with their job. LinkedIn signs 2 new members up every second. The average visitor spends 15 minutes a day on YouTube. 3 million blogs are launched each month. 97% of Pinterest users are female. I knew that. 5 million images are uploaded daily on Instagram. The Google button is pressed 5 billion times a day. Facebook dominates the social landscape with a 63% market penetration. 3 hours a day on average is spent between those age groups I mentioned. 2 full hours are spent interacting daily for users aged 20 to 29. 31% of adolescents freely admit to reading and writing on social media while they're sitting in the bathroom. Man, if you can't leave, take your Bible in the bathroom for crying out loud. You got to do something. 45% of users check their timeline while eating. You're not even eating food right anymore. You can't leave it alone long enough to just enjoy a meal. And you know what's happening? You go to the restaurants, you see it all the time. You see a family sitting around and they're all doing this. Man, guys, I'm telling you, this is affecting church. This is how it's affecting church. I'll give you a couple things. Number one, your family's suffering and you drag yourself to church and you're barely hanging on a thread because your mind is overstimulated from constantly looking at images and seeing things. And your mind can't take all that information. Whether you think it can or not, you get to church, you plop down, you can't remember half of what the screaming guy up here is saying. You get home and go, what was that all about? Go to sleep and it starts over. The average American spends 24% of their day. I read this today at work in the morning. So we're talking about this today at work. 24% of their day cyber loafing. It takes 23 minutes to regroup after you start looking at stuff online. 60 to 80% of people's time on the internet at work have nothing to do with work. If 1,000 employees spent 1 hour each day cyber loafing, this particular company they were studying could lose $35 million a year. 18% of users of Facebook and Twitter can't go a few hours without checking Facebook. That's 20%. If there's around 3 billion people, and 63% of those 3 billion people are Facebook users, you understand that that's about 1.5 billion people, and then you take 20% of them, that's a lot, who can't go a few hours without checking Facebook. You don't think the devil's going to use that? You think they're getting scripture on there? I know you can post scripture. I get it. I understand you can do good things. I'm not saying you can't. I try to as well. I'm just telling you that it becomes an addictive thing that you constantly have to go check and constantly have to go look at. When's the last time you said, man, I just got to go back to that book? I mean, you know, well, you know, it's just not that convenient, Pastor. I mean, the phone just fits in your... Just sort of stuff it down, I guess. Do something, man. I mean, carry a pocket one, and every time you get tempted to pull out your phone, go, let me see what the Bible says about this. When's the last time you said, man, I just got to go look in the mirror? You say, well, I do that all the time. No, I mean the mirror of God's word. And you say, man, my mind is constantly going over here and going over here. You know why the attention span of today's American is about 8 seconds? In large part because of social media. There's an addiction there. 28% of iPhone users, I knew I didn't like iPhone users for a reason. 28% check Twitter before they get out of bed. Here's a really scary question. How do they know that? Let that one sink in. You won't let the preacher know anything about your life, but you'll share a bunch of garbage with your friends online and with the world to see. And you won't pray about those things, but you'll share with the world. There's an addiction there. 26% of users check Twitter before they turn on the TV. 23% of users rely on Twitter for the morning news. An average 4 to 5 students find they experience negative side effects. That's 80%. If they feel disconnected from technology for a day. If we're raising a generation of people that can't go a day without a phone and they feel depressed, I'm telling you, we're not doing them a good service, folks. And we're hoping that they carry the banner for Jesus Christ and they carry it into the next generation and they're able to fight against stuff that's worse than what we're facing now. They won't have a chance. Parents, I'm telling you, we got to help them out. My question tonight is, are you addicted? Are you addicted? Do you find yourself looking when no one's calling? Do you find yourself looking when there's nothing to look at? I just got to see. I got to know what's going on over there. I wonder if anything's changed. Hey, listen. I'm not trying to be mean tonight, but I'll just say this. If a blackout occurred, your life would go on. And if you didn't like someone's picture in eternity, it ain't going to matter. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, if you would. Boy, wouldn't it be nice for the world to see that we're addicted to serving Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 16, look if you would at verse 15. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You know what social media will do? It'll cause you to be addicted to thinking about you. It is not built to make you think about Jesus Christ. It was built so that marketing geniuses could see what you like to do with your time and how you talk about yourself and what you enjoy and what your friends enjoy so they could sell you more stuff. It has nothing to do with Jesus Christ in your life. And let me say this, if you don't pass on this Facebook thing and you don't share it with 10 friends and you don't like this post, you're still going to heaven when you die. You ever get those things? If you really love Jesus, then you'll pass this on. If you really love Jesus, you probably wouldn't have posted that stupid thing. Wouldn't it be nice if they said, boy, those Christians, they just won't shut up talking about Jesus Christ. Boy, those Christians, they just won't stop passing out those tracts. Boy, those Christians, they won't stop about bringing people to church. And they won't stop talking about what God's doing in their life. And when I see them with their kids, man, they look at them in the eye. It's the weirdest thing. And when the kid is talking to them, they play with them, and they're not constantly going, listen, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just trying to get you to understand where we're at. I had someone tell me, my kid is this old, and I promise you, as long as they got a tablet, they're just fine. Now, listen, I'm not trying to pick on you if that's the case, but I'm going to tell you, that's just a crutch. Eventually, you're going to have to actually deal with your kid. That's where we're at today. From the time they're this high, here, play with this. Here, do this. Why? Because I'm busy. Why? Because I got to check what my friends are doing online before I can talk to you. I've seen it, guys. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with an addiction. And I'm going to tell you one more time. If you're sitting there going, I don't have it, then give it up for a week. If a drunk told me I'm not an alcoholic, quit drinking for a week. I can stop anytime I want to. Prove it. You know what you're about to do? If you really do have an issue, say, Lord, this is my problem. I'm sorry. I let this thing get out of hand. Yes, it can be used for good, but it's becoming more important to me and about what people think about me and what I think about me and what do they say about me and do they like me, and it's all that I think about. That's the generation that we're raising. You need to fill your thoughts with Him. I read this verse this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Imagine that there is no social media and you have to sort of just entertain yourself with you and the Lord. How would that work? Boy, it's quiet in my car and there's no noise, and what do I do now? I don't know, maybe sing to yourself. Maybe do what the Bible says. Well, it's just sort of awkward right now because I did something yesterday. I went to Jamba Juice. I love Jamba Juice. Man, I hope that's in the millennial reign. Lord, would you let that stay after you set up your kingdom? That'd be a blessing. Anyways, I was in Jamba Juice and I sat down. I said, I'm not going to pull my phone out one time. And I just sat and I looked around. And what I realized is that everyone, as soon as you sit down and you're still, as soon as you're still, automatically, why? Because then I got to think. And I got to consider things. And then I'm left alone with my thoughts. And then maybe I might actually pray. There's a thought. I'm trying to get you to understand how far things have gone in such a short period of time. I remember we were missionaries, I believe we were, on deputation, and someone showed us what MySpace was. Remember that? You know? MySpace, you know, and I remember, I was like, well, that's really interesting. And then I'll never forget my first night being exposed to social media. I saw a picture of a guy I went to Bible school with holding a big stein drinking a beer. Yeah. And I thought, boy, I don't know about this. And you know what, man? Time went on, and I remember we were in Tennessee, and someone said, hey, there's this thing called Facebook, you know, or like they say in Puerto Rico, buffet. Facebook. You're like, what are you saying? Facebook. Oh, okay. You know? And I remember someone showing us that. We thought, wow, that's really cool. We can talk to our old buddies from Bible school. We thought it was great. And we were really into it. And about 6 months later, we're like, this thing's the devil. You can't say anything about the Bible without someone jumping down your throat. You get in an argument when you talk about anything. And let me say this. That's a device the devil wants to use too. God did not call you to correct everybody about what they're doing in their life. That is not your calling. What am I saying? I'm saying maybe we're addicted. We need to pull back a little bit. Second question for you tonight is this. Are you too connected maybe to distractions? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians 7, look if you would at verse 35. I'm well aware the context has to do with staying single versus getting married and all that kind of stuff, but I want to draw a biblical principle out of this verse if I can. Look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 35. In this I speak for your own profit. What he's about to say is for your good. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without what? You know how many car accidents happen because someone's checking something on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram? Listen, you know what the Lord wants out of your life? For you to live a life that is without distraction, where you can focus your attention on Him. Yes, you have a family. Yes, you have a job. Yes, you have bills. Yes, you have kids. But all of that is done through the prism of, Lord, what would you have me to do with the things that you've given me? All of it should be focused on Jesus Christ. And there are way too many distractions for us today, guys. Do you ever find that you're sitting in church or in your Bible? Listen, this happened to me this morning. I'm reading a verse of Scripture, reading a passage, and all of a sudden I go, what did I just read? Yeah. Ever been there? Yeah. Do you think you need more problems in that arena? Do you think you need more distractions than what you already have? Do you understand that your mind is the greatest computer that was ever made? And the world will try as hard as they can. They will never mimic. They're trying so hard right now with robotics and AI and all that stuff. They will never mimic what God did. Not 100%. They can't do it. They'll try, but they can't do it. You know, that's the most complicated and complex computer there ever was. But even with that computer, you take your phone and you load on there. I don't know. I'm not a tech guy. I'm going to throw on, say, 10 gigs of pictures. Let me just randomly. So if you're a tech guy, don't go, that's not how it is. I don't want to hear. I don't care. You get the illustration. It has a limit for pictures. And you understand, you could have 10,000 texts on there, and it'll stay just fine. You throw too many pictures on there, and boy, it starts slowing down. It starts losing step. It starts locking up. Why? Too many images distract the phone, let alone your mind. Are you distracted tonight? Can you come to church and just focus on the Word of God? Can you get in your Bible in the morning and just focus on Jesus Christ? Let me say this. None of us are perfect in that arena. We don't need anything else to take our minds away. Are you sure that this social media is being connected is not maybe just a distraction that the devil wants to use in your life? Listen to me, I'm going to be very clear about this. I didn't say go out, burn your phones, don't get on social media. I didn't say that. That's between you and God what you do with it. But I'll tell you this, if you're distracted, take a break. You know what happens sometimes when you fast? When you go, now listen, day one is awful. Especially if someone puts something like this on your pulpit. Boy, day one's bad, day two's bad, your headaches, and you start feeling gross, and boy, but you get into that first week, after that first week, it's like, man, I'm seeing stuff I never saw before. Why? Because naturally, I just feed my flesh. But when I take a break from something that makes me comfortable, that gives me comfort, that gives me what I want, that I naturally depend on for strength, I'm talking physical here for a moment, but let's apply it spiritually. And I take a break from my dependency. And I take a break from my need for people to tell me I'm something great. And my need for people to exalt me. And my need for this. And I just take a break from that. And I'm not distracted with that. Boy, it's amazing how much clearer the Lord becomes. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Looking unto him. I'm going to ask you tonight, is what's the majority of the stuff that's going on social media, is it getting you to look at Jesus Christ any more than you are right now? Or is it distracting you? You know what that thing's built for? It's built to get you to think about politics and who's popular and who's in a certain position and all this peripheral stuff that in eternity is not going to matter. And whenever you're exposed and brought and confronted with scriptural truths about eternity, it's almost like fuzzy, like it doesn't really make sense. Like it's sort of way out there. You say, why? Because you're bombarding your mind with distractions that are temporal. Ask yourselves these questions when you're distracted, when you want to go look. Number one, do I need to look? Number two, if I'm not part of whatever's going on online, how does that affect my relationship with Jesus Christ? Number three, why does it matter to me if I stay busy online? Number four, will I miss out on hearing the Lord if I'm too busy? Number five, if I set a time every day, let me ask you a question. I hope, you don't need to raise your hand. I hope everybody sets a time in their day where they go, this is my Bible time. I'm reading my Bible. What if you did that with all the times you check your phone? I'm just going to check it right now. I got this one time of the day. You can find your Bible time to that. You see what that do? It might limit some of the distractions that are going on in your mind and in your heart. Can people, here's another one. Can people live without hearing from me? Yes. Yes, they can. What is on my phone that's so important that I need to look right now? Are you connected to a distraction? Let me ask you this. Are you connected to frustration? Look at 1 Kings 21. Go to your Old Testament. Are you connected to frustration? You say, what are you talking about? Envy. You know what that thing's made for? It's made to make you envy what someone else has so you'll buy it. That's what, so you need to understand that. Listen, with IT, either you're buying a product or you're the product. So if you're not paying for something, you're the product. You understand that? This is a lost man who told me this. If you're not actually paying for something, then you have in essence become the product. You say, why? Because they want to sell to you. And they're making merchandise of you. Look, if you would, at 1 Kings chapter number 21, you know what that thing is built for? It's built to make you covet and to make you envious of what other people have. 1 Kings 21, you know what you have? You've got a king, and boy, he's got everything you'd want. He's got lands, he's got possessions. You know, he's got basically final authority. He gets to do whatever he wants to do. He's got everything that people naturally want, what the Gentiles seek after. Food and clothing and a bunch of stuff on top of that. You know, it's not enough. You know why? Look at 1 Kings 21. Look at verse 1. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. Naboth was a righteous man living by the Old Testament law that God had given to his people. And he said, you know what? My fathers gave me this land. I shouldn't sell it. This stays in my family. It's what God gave me. There's a great story there. We're going to get into that tonight. There's a great picture of a Christian who won't sell out just because the person that they're talking to has influence in their life. Great picture. But that said, you know what happens every day? Oh, Ahab gets up and he stretches and he does that thing, you know, and he doing a little bit of this. Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Doing this, and he gets up for his morning jog and he starts going out and he's going, yeah, there we go. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, his wife was a heathen, so it's probably like, the joy of the Lord is my, you know. But he's going, he's starting to jog, and he's jiving and jiving, and all of a sudden he looks over and he sees his vineyard. He goes, man, that'd be nice. I'd like that. And every day he jogs, and he goes by there, and he goes, boy, I need that. Next day he jogs by there, and he goes, I could do a better job than that guy's doing with it. Next day he jogs, and he goes by there, and he goes, how come I don't have that vineyard? Before you know it, he's allowing his wife to set up an innocent man to be stoned and killed when that man Naboth did nothing wrong so that Ahab could have something that he thought he needed. Why? Envy. You say, why? Because he saw it every day because it was close to his house. You know what's interesting about that? Boy, you used to have to actually work to get into trouble, amen? You don't have to go very far. It's all right here. You know what happened every day? Ahab is seeing that thing, and he's opening up his feed, and he goes, how come Naboth? Naboth takes a picture with his family by the vineyard, and he's going, I hate that guy. Why? He's got something I don't have. How come I don't have her? How come I don't have him? How come I don't have that house? How come I don't have their money? How come I don't have their fashion? How come I don't have the influence that they have? No one listens to me when I put a Bible verse on there. How come I don't have their car? How come I don't have their looks? Why don't I have their body? Why don't I have their church? Why don't I have their family? How come I don't have their job? That's satanic. Isaiah chapter 14. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. That's the devil in your life. That's not God leading you to be envious and being worried, and how come they have this and I don't, and how come they have that, and they got this influence on these people, and everyone listens to them, and they don't listen to me. You think God's behind that? The Jews delivered Jesus Christ to the Romans. Why? For envy. Joseph was sold into slavery. Why? Envy. The Jews rejected the gospel by Paul in Acts 13 and 17. Why? Because he was pulling the big crowds, and no one came to listen to them. Social media, anybody? You know, over there in Romans chapter 1, where the Bible talks about the Gentile nations and how they fell away from God, and talks about homosexuality, talks about sexual impurity, talks about all this kind of stuff and the unraveling of the nations, if you will. Do you know what's in that list? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Wouldn't we all say those are bad things? How about this? Murder and debate. Boy, that's bad stuff. Deceit, malignity, whisperers. I purposefully left out something that was sandwiched in the middle of that. Full of envy. Where does it come from? What you're looking at. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Gotta buy it. Gotta buy it. Click on this link. Do it now. 70% off now. If you don't do it now, you're going to miss out. You gotta do it. Gotta do it. Gotta do it. When's the last time you said, I gotta pray now? I got to pray now. I got to witness now. I got to read my Bible now. I got that urgency that's there for the things that are just constantly in front of your eyes. Switch it and put something in there that's eternal. It'll change your Christian life. I'm telling you, you don't even realize how much this has affected us as God's people. It's changing us. The Bible says this, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Covetousness is used to make merchandise of you. Dwight Moody, great preacher, talked about an eagle. And he saw this bird flying way, way up high there. And this eagle happens to look over and he happens to see an archer, and this hunter is over there and he's really looking up there to see what he can shoot at. And that eagle sort of hops over and he goes, "You know, I really wish you would just knock that guy out of the sky." He goes, "You know, I would if I just had a feather and I'd use that feather to go ahead and form the, what do you call that thing on the knock? Is it the knock? What do you call that thing? Just look at me like I'm crazy. That'll work just fine. Okay, all right. You take the feather and you put that thing on the arrow on the end there." And he says, "You know, if I just had a feather, I'd do it. I could shoot that bird out of the sky." And that eagle goes, "Here you go." Oh, man. Missed. "You know, if I had another one." You know how the story ends? That bird on the ground is dead. You say, why? Because of his envy, he gave up the one thing that could have gotten him out of trouble. You understand, Christian, that's you in this world. You know what the Bible says? You know what the solution is? Let your conversation be without covetousness. You wish you had what someone else had tonight? Ask God to forgive you for it. See, the way we approach this is, "Well, Pastor, you just don't understand, and the way I was raised and this and that." It's sin. Thou shalt not covet. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Doesn't it matter to you at all? I mean, listen, guys, when you come to church and someone says, "Man, I'm saved," and they say, "Amen," there should be about 20 of those around this room. It shouldn't be like, "Well, but is something wrong? Can't get your tongue? What's wrong with you? How come you got, it's not like you're sort of coughing, burping, and saying amen at the same time? What is that?" I'll tell you what it is. That stuff doesn't mean anything to you because you're bombarded, you're distracted, and you're covetous because of what you're looking at all the time. And it's affecting you more than you realize. And you haven't spent all day going, "God, thank you for the air. God, thank you that I can breathe. God, thank you for my, you know what? You're right. Lord, you know this. I'm no Captain America, but thank you for the legs that I can use to move. Lord, I may not look like her. I may not have her body, but Lord, thank you for my children. Lord, thank you. Lord, my children aren't perfect, but they're alive. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to drive to church. Lord, thank you for my church. God, thank you for my job. Well, you don't know my boss." No, I don't, but I don't know you as an employee either. I'm sure you're not perfect. Thank God for what you have. The Bible says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment therewith, let us be content." You got food? You got raiment? You're good. You're good. You know what shelter is? Shelter is icing on the cake. If you got a place to stay, boy, you have been taken care of more than what God promised you. Do you understand that? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and all these things. Oh yeah, the Rolls Royce and the new car and the big house and "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," and all these things. You know what these things are in that passage? Food and raiment. Check it out. Read Matthew 6 for yourself. What am I getting at? Has God blessed you tonight? Amen. Then don't get on that stupid thing and go, "Oh, come on, oh, come in. I need that." I need. No, you don't. Be content with such things as you have. I'm asking, are you connected to frustration because of envy? Let me ask you this lastly. Are you connected to intervention? You say, what do you mean by that? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. If I were to tell you tonight, "Boy, pray for brother so-and-so. His life is out of order." Some of you might think he ran off on his wife. Some of you might think, "Boy, he's doing drugs, he's drunk, he's going and partying and reveling, he's gambling up at Cripple Creek or at Black Hawk, and he's not living right." You know, some of you might think all these big things. You know, really, it doesn't take that much to be disorderly as a Christian. Look, if you would, at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I want you to see how God defines a disorderly Christian life. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 11. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are..." You know what God says is disorderly? When you stick your cotton picking nose in someone else's business and you need to get it out. That's disorderly. And you know what he says about that? He says to withdraw yourself from those people. You say, why? Because it'll affect you too. You go online and you see stuff you don't need to see about anybody else's life. I don't know how you manage that, but I'll tell you this. I know what I do. I turn the thing off. I don't need to see any more garbage about people's lives. I don't want to be the accuser of the brethren. The devil does a great enough job at that. I don't want to look at it and go, man, they should be doing this. And when you do that, and you start going, I can't believe how they're living, then you get into a place that God does not intend you to be. Yes, you're to rightly discern. Yes, you're to rightly judge. But that does not mean you go fishing for garbage. Don't you have enough trouble in your own life? Don't go looking for it in somebody else's. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, talking about widows that are not widows indeed, withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers. Who likes a tattletale? You know, you see these kids running around and boy, the kid leaves his toy and he runs off and the kid grabs and the kid comes back and the kid punches and the kid goes, ah! And then the kid that punches runs up and says, he took my toy. Didn't you just punch him too? No one likes a tattletale. You know what a tattler is? Someone that's running around talking about stuff that isn't their business. You know what social media has done and made a lot of you Christians? Running around talking the gospel about people that's none of your business. Someone one time asked me, what do you think about brother so-and-so? And do you think that he should be doing this in this particular ministry? I said, none of my business. Amen. You say, why? I'm not in his shoes, and neither are you. So it's just best for us to leave it alone. The problem is not that somebody is not working today. We understand that. The problem is that we're not busy enough. And yet, at the same time, you know what we say? I'm just so busy. I can't ask anyone to do anything without, really. I don't mean this in a mean way. You ask me, it's the same thing. We're all busy. Busy, busy. And yet, we find time to learn about other people's garbage. How is that? You ever notice when you're going, have you ever been on I-225 or I-70 or, the convergence of I-25 and I-70, that is satanic. It's terrible. It's awful, man. You get to that conversion, it's like, you know, the worst. It's like time just sort of comes to a stop. You know how many times that happens, and then you realize what it was, is an accident happened an hour ago, and everyone's just going. And we're all going 20 miles an hour because some jackwagon way up there is going. And then everybody else does the same thing. You know why? We want to see blood. You want people to watch NASCAR? Now, there may be an exception. Justin, you might be it. But for the rest of people, they want to see blood. They want to see an accident. You know why that is? There's something inside of you that wants to see something that you don't normally see. There's just something that appeal to darkness. And you know, you go, well, I wouldn't do those things. But boy, I've been noticing on social media, Sister So-and-so, boy, do you see how she was dressed in that picture? Don't look. Don't look! Amen. Don't look at me like I can't believe you said. I'm telling you, don't look. Did somebody put a gun to your head and say, look? Okay. I can tell we got to move on. Then don't look. Boy, did you read the thing that Brother So-and-so posted? Boy, I think he's off doctrinally. Maybe. I got enough trouble. Boy, people bring stuff to me sometimes and I'm going, well, if they come to me and ask for help, I'll help them. Otherwise, I'm not. I learned this as a pastor a long time ago. When I walk around and go, you know, you need to fix this. It's like me grabbing a dog by the ears and going, don't bite me, don't bite me, don't bite me, don't bite me. You're going to get bit. Right. You know, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, he that passeth by meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Is it your problem to deal with? Leave it alone. You know, the social media stuff is changing how we interact with each other. Think about this. You're in a car. I saw this today. Saddest thing in the world. Going on I-70, coming home from work, and I saw this truck. It was a big old 350 heavy duty diesel, you know. And I'm behind it. I'm going, well, it looks like there's probably something obstructing traffic because I can tell this guy he's doing this number, and he's doing this because he's trying to see, you know, what's around the person in front of me. So I'm going, what is around him? And I'm weaving in and out and going, well, it's over there, you know, And all of a sudden, I see this car slowly get in the right lane. And these people were probably at least 70 years old. And this guy literally throttled down and rode up on him. And I thought to myself, if we were in a grocery store and that old couple's walking with a cart and that guy's behind him, he's not threatening their life. He's probably going, oh, no, it's okay. You go right ahead. Something happens when you're not physically in front of somebody, but you're exchanging words and images, where you feel empowered to say and do things you would not normally do in any other situation, and you better think twice before you do it. You say, what's happened? We've become busybodies, becoming experts in other men and women's affairs. You say, why? Because the whole thing is people-centric. It's not God-centric. Now, don't leave here and say, Pastor Adrian said we need to burn our phones and I can't use Facebook. I didn't say that. Let me be frank with you. Our church has a Facebook page. Our church has an Instagram. I didn't say you can't use it, but boy, you better limit that thing. If you're going to do it and you've got peace between you and God that is something you can do, you better be careful with how you use that time. I read this a long time ago. Think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Is it for edification? Is there any value in me getting involved in this? Is this my place to address this? Should I even... Listen, let me tell you something. As a pastor, you know what one of my jobs is? One of my jobs is to feed the sheep. One of my jobs is to look out and protect the sheep. But nigh of seeing something that's going to destroy your life, if I walked around and got involved in every person's problems in this room, I would do nothing else but go from problem to problem. And there's a difference between me caring and praying and stepping back and going, God, you need to help them. They're going through this. God, they're going through this. And allowing the Holy Spirit to work and me being the Holy Spirit for you. Now listen, if it's not the place for a pastor to do that, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't yours. And I'm telling you, social media has changed the way we interact with each other. I noticed a different phenomenon about a couple years ago, and the phenomenon was this. It used to be you come to church and go, hey, how was your week? Now it's, I saw what you posted. Now, I'm not saying it's bad by itself. Try to listen to what I'm saying and don't get offended. I'm just saying that it's changing the way we interact with each other. And boy, if you like this message, boy, we got a second part next week. Hallelujah, glory to God. And part of that is, are we a little too connected with some things that we don't need to be? We'll look at that next week. Christian, let me say this. God is a God of replacement. I was telling somebody that earlier this week. God never takes something from you without giving you something better. God feels... And God believes and God commands and God says that the gathering together of his people literally is something that he enjoys and he wants you to enjoy. I didn't say it's wrong if you're connected with Christians on Facebook. That's not my point. But oftentimes what we end up doing is trying to fill a void that God intended to be filled a certain way by using something that's artificial. I can tell you right now, there is truly nothing like... Take one of the beef deals. This is a little commercial for you. You can pay me later. All right? One of the cows that Brother Jeff has, boy, that organic beef. Now, you may think there's nothing to it. You taste a cow that has grazed on grass out in the open versus something that was raised in a laboratory. Boy, they're different, man. All right? You taste that versus a Mickey D's hamburger. I'm sorry if you like Mickey D's, all right? But they're different. All right? And the fellowship... And the joining together that God desires for it to be in the unity that God desires to be with his family and with his people, you can't replace with the virtual stuff. I'm trying to help you tonight, I promise. I want you to wake up and just sort of understand where the world is moving and how we can sort of put the brakes on and go, okay, Lord, I want you to fill the void that I've been allowing to be filled by something else. Let's all stand.